Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Southern Bancorp Studio, that's where the three of us are at, Bob, Kelly, and Dima, and we're glad you're with us as well. Opening segment of our show today, sponsored by Movie Star Restaurant. You've been there a couple times, haven't you, Santa?
You're going to limit me to a couple times?
Best Southern cooking buffet in the land. 6 days a week, you can enjoy that delicious comfort food. Cook fresh every day. Great buffet. Family owned and operated. They've been doing it for 25 years.
Kelly. And consistent. Consistent.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, the quality of the food, even when they had their Purvis location, the original Movie Star factory down there, food has been so good for so many years.
No question. Kudos to my man, Dima Mixon. He's doing double duty here, man. He's not only going to, you know, enlighten the show with his expertise and top training. He's over there downloading a podcast for me, and he's doing all this for the $150,000 a year we're paying him. I'm really grateful to you, David.
Well, I've called
$150,000 to something.
I've called him private first class Dima Mixon today with that haircut. He's got
good looking. Got that good looking high and tight.
Yeah,
that
I didn't haircut. Actually want it this short. I was like, can you just, you know, trim up the back and blend in the top? And she was like, sure. Just shaved off all the hair on the back of my head, and I was like, okay.
She might have one of those burner accounts.
That she probably does. That's exactly right.
That's exactly what she has. Right. Thundersticks or whatever it is.
Dima's predictions will be coming Friday.
Oh, boy.
Coach Travis Grill joins us every Wednesday. Always fun to have him on the show. Another exciting ball game last night at the Peak, Coach. A walk-off win for the Golden Eagles. And I asked you when I first got you on the phone, can you guys just take it easy on us one night? You said probably not.
Yeah, this time of year, you know, it's good teams. Our schedule ain't easy. So every team we play is going to be good. And obviously continue with conference play this weekend, and we got Tulane one more time. So it's going to be a lot of exciting baseball.
You got a little history with Tulane, don't you, Coach?
Yeah, you know, I was in – it seems like it's kind of faded. But, you know, when I was in college, that was the biggest rival we had from a fan base and on the field. And they were obviously really good. And I feel like their fan base may have been a little more into it than it is now. That was the rivalry back then.
Yeah, no question. There were some great baseball games. Kelly and I were talking about that before the show. Some great baseball history between Tulane and Southern.
And when Ron Maestri was the head coach at New Orleans, the Privateers were every bit as good, you know, as Tulane back then. It was kind of a triad of teams.
Yeah, I was after Katrina, but pre-Katrina, I do remember those UNO teams being really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember some chippy games between Tulane and Southern Miss through the years.
Coach. Oh yeah, I feel like the bench is cleared every week or every time we play them.
The theme with Tulane, New Orleans, Southeastern Louisiana, all Louisiana teams.
Really?
That's what we hear every time that those guys are tough down there.
And it's hard sometimes to get mad at them because you're not exactly sure what they say. with those Cajun accents, you know.
Well, I know what Colby Allen said.
Yeah,
we won't repeat that. That fired me up pretty good last night. All right, Coach, great game last night, and I don't want to single out any one player, but, man, how do you not give kudos to ice-cold Cross Sibley? Man, he really performed, didn't he?
Yeah, Cross was huge, and you know, we knew going into the game, they were running out 7 lefties in their lineup. He'd be a really good matchup. But yeah, you know, I thought Cole had some bad luck in the second, and Cross came in and cleaned it up, and I think he gave us 5 1/3, which was awesome. So that was big out of him, and he's done it a lot in his career, and we needed it last night.
And that's kind of unusual, Coach, for a midweek game, because Coach Oz has, generally speaking, used 8 or 9 kids. What was it that made y'all decide to stick with Cross so long last night?
Yeah, I don't think it was the plan by any means. I do think, you know, obviously they took the lead in the second, scoring 3, and then we got the lead back. I think it was the 4th. But, yeah, I think it was just that they had so many lefties. And, you know, this time of year, every game's so important. You know, I think you got to kind of roll with the hot hand and let him get as deep as you can. And his pitch count still didn't get that high. So it was really, you know, it was a shot we needed. We don't have a ton of lefties down there in the bullpen. So Cross was huge.
Yeah, I think Oz said that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that's why he stayed in that long. And I wanted to ask you about Dre Barrett, though. Of course, two homers last night. I mean, if he could give you all some long balls, I mean, that would drastically change the bottom of that lineup.
Yeah, no, Dre's been huge. I think he's hitting, he was hitting over 350 his last 10 games coming into last night. So that went up even more. He's seeing the ball really well. It's not a talent issue with Dre. So he's very talented and, you know, had a slow start or I say slow middle of the season. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's real power. So you saw that last night when he gets into it. He can hit a long way and he's confident right now. He's seeing it well and he's been really good for us.
Coach, I wonder if, and I probably should have asked him this years ago, but Cross Sivley's demeanor, was he dropped on his head as a kid? Or what is nothing bothers that guy. Have you ever seen his pulse over maybe 45 or 50?
He got pretty fired up. What game against like Texas
Saturday.
State did he come in and
yeah,
get the last
he did.
Out?
He did, yeah.
He showed some emotion, and the guys love it when he does because it's rare and, you know, it's genuine. So, yeah, he's steady, man. That's what makes him so good. You can't get too high, can't get too low, and he's steady. And man, he was awesome last night.
Going forward, and we kind of debated this for fun yesterday on the show, the designated hitter position. Are you still kind of searching there? Of course, it's Coach Oz's decision ultimately, but you want to settle on one guy? You're going to kind of keep playing musical chairs there? Just some thoughts, pros and cons.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd love to settle on the guy. It's kind of unique, obviously, not one guy is just killing it, but also they all handle different pitchers a little better than the other. So, you know, I think, you know, Gray swung the bat pretty well. I mean, he's a true freshman, hitting over, I think it was over 240 going into last night. He's hit really well as runners in scoring position as well. So, you know, I think he gives you a good shot. And then we went with Ty there because Ty – their closer had a really good carry fastball, the big righty. We thought Ty had the best chance there. So, yeah, it's obviously not what we want in that spot right now. But, yeah, I think we'll probably just keep playing matchups as best as we can.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse. You could be, quote-unquote, stuck with somebody.
Right.
You don't have any depth at all, but you do have some options.
Coach, for people that looked at the last inning of the game last night and said, why are all these guys in the infield? I mean, there were five players playing in the infield,
yeah,
which is very, very unusual. Kind of explain that for our listeners, please.
Yeah. Oh, that lefty they had in, it's a power sinker. He gives up. It's almost 90% ground balls. I think y'all saw in the eighth inning, obviously a frustrating inning where Dre, you know, our guys are doing everything they can to get underneath the baseball, and Dre grounded out with a 4-2 put out, and then Higdon hit him to the double play. Well, that guy, it's a power lefty up to 94-mile-an-hour sinker. It's really hard to get underneath the baseball. So they were coming at KMO with heaters, and like I said, probably over 90% of the time when a hitter puts the ball in play off that guy, it's a ground ball. So they were playing the odds there. I thought it was actually a brilliant move. It just so happened for us that KMO got beneath it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really impressive at bat because, you know, we talked to Morrison after the game and he said, you know, just fighting off what he thought was good pitches, but he knew he had to get one in the air. And like you said, the metrics on that guy was ground ball. That's why they brought in five players. So, you know, Morrison, and he's a lefty on top of that. So, I mean, that was a really impressive walk-off for him.
Big time. And Kyle, Kyle's kind of like the Cross of the hitters. He's just so steady. A big moment's not going to, you know, speed him up. He's very under control. He's a very confident kid, as he should be. And, you know, he wants that moment. And believe me, I wanted him in that moment as well. So, huge at bat. Got off some really tough pitches to get to the, walk off.
You got the Jags now down in Mobile this weekend. Tell us how you think that South Al has been playing and some of the things that we need to worry about with this club.
Yeah, I think they're playing much better than they have the past couple of years, for sure. I think they're a game behind us in league play, tied for third. Really old on the weekend pitching staff. Mitchell here has been a steady Friday guy for a couple of years now. They got a couple of bullpen weapons, and they're just pretty balanced. You know, they're not just super offensive or super pitching. It's just kind of a balanced team that can beat you in different ways. And yeah, obviously that's another rivalry game. They don't like us too much, and I'm sure we'll get their best shot.
Well, one phrase Bob Geddy does not ever want to hear.
The bags are full of Jags. No, I don't want to hear that. I don't hear that. You don't hear that either, do you, Coach?
I do not want to hear that.
Hey, well, Coach, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it must be nice for Morrison to go back down to South Alabama.
Oh,
Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I don't know how that'll go. But, yeah, he's a man. With Kyle, he's been such a good fit. Obviously, he's a good player, but he fits in with what we do, and he's been an awesome fit in the locker room.
Coach, we always enjoy your conversation with us on Wednesday. We thank you. Congratulations. It looks like the guys, I think, are beginning to get that swagger back and play that Golden Eagle swagger. We appreciate you. Look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Coach Travis Creel, everybody. You agree with that, Dima? They just seem to be gaining a little swagger back.
Yeah, 4 wins in a row is the most since before the Arkansas State Series, so that's always a good thing.
And they seem to figure out just enough to win.
Sometimes, though, I just wish they would just put the game away, you know, in the fourth or fifth
inning. You need to take your meds with you, Bob, to the ballpark.
I'm going to start.
Good idea.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the program. Happy to say that the owner of Eagle Tire West came up and said we were doing a good job for them. Told me that last night, Kelly. Well, actually, he said me and Dima are doing a good job for him.
And honestly, the bottom line is we can say whatever we want to say. We can help get people in the store, but they are the ones that
and
have
they
to,
do.
Of course. That's what brings business back.
They sell Goodyear products, the best tires on the market. They do full service work on autos and trucks. And this to me is most important. They're family owned and operated. It's a local business since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. And I don't think you can overemphasize the importance of doing business locally.
I mean, they help you put food on your table. You should help put
they
food on theirs.
The Little League baseball team out there, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
They're involved in your community, and the money isn't being siphoned straight out of it. So if you got tire work or if you need new tires, please give them a shot at Eagle Tire West. Or you could go buy a new Genesis from Kevin Mullins at Genesis of Hattiesburg, Kelly. He'd probably like that.
Well, yeah, but I think tires and a Genesis, price-wise, a little bit
that's
of difference.
Part of, you know that's part of Demon's package.
I've heard about that. Yeah, my attorney will be in touch, by the way.
Yeah. Genesis sedans and SUVs, all at the exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Kind of a side note, and then you guys talk about whatever you want, but Dima very graciously helps me with the podcast, and tomorrow's podcast on Legends will be with Hill Denson, so hold on. I won't even tell you some of the things he said. I'll let you hear it for yourself.
Did his compensation package include gizzards?
unlimited gizzards. That he refused to do it unless I promised him it.
Did y'all record it at the bridge where he's telling people to jump?
He did tell them to jump off the bridge. Just go ahead.
We'll be better without you, right?
But this is the man that accused Scott Berry of cheating on the Eagle Hour, yep. If you'll remember that. So, yeah, Scott doesn't pay him much attention. Anyway, I wanted to get to this point. Spent the morning with Tyrone Nix, and I know you were around during the heyday. Kind of put in perspective. That'll be released later on. But the part of football history that the Nix brothers are, Kelly.
Well, first of all, I don't think that everybody understands how young he was. That's the success that he achieved.
He was the youngest Division I coordinator in the history of D1.
Wasn't he, what, late 20s?
29.
Okay, 29, I thought so. And the numbers that he put together. And when you look at the different programs that he had coached at under the mentors, including Steve Spurrier, among them, some of the people that he coached for, Houston nut at Ole Miss.
Exactly. Jeff Bauer, of course.
I've never been one. It's somebody else's job, but I've never really understood why he didn't get more of a serious look at Southern Miss.
Yeah.
And of course, now his brother, Derek, has been associate head coach at Ole Miss and great. And I think he was at Auburn, too. I mean, some SEC programs.
Been in the SEC for a long time.
Yeah. I don't know.
Keep in mind, Tyrone Nix went to be the DC at South Carolina. The next year, Spurrier promoted him to associate head coach. Then Ole Miss recruits him, and the second year, Houston Nutt promotes him to associate head coach. He's currently the associate head coach at Tarleton State out in Texas. So he's been successful everywhere he's been, and you're right. You're right that no hire. Oh, really kind of hard to understand.
Him or his brother. Yeah. But then you look at other things that athletically that have happened over the years. You know, why, when you look back on it now, most people will acknowledge that one of the biggest mistakes the university ever did was letting go of Jeff Bauer when they did. Kay James, who has also been on Legends.
Well, now, she didn't do anything but take him to 10 NCAA postseason tournaments.
But they let her go, right? So, look, God has a plan. You don't know what that plan is. But he's got a plan, and I guess nobody's worse for the wear. I mean, it certainly hasn't stopped Tyrone Nix from making a very nice living.
No, he's done it real well for him.
But you do have to wonder why some guys that have the legacy and the Southern Miss thoroughbred pedigree ever get to come
he's
back.
He's 52 now. I just showed you a picture of him from this morning. How'd you like to run into him?
I think I know. If you asked him a question he didn't want to answer, I hope you didn't force the issue.
Oh, I was very polite.
That's who the burner sent to my door after Southern Miss swept Texas State. So that was
Tyrone Nix.
Yeah, that was a bad.
He just smacked it down too, didn't he?
Pretty bad. It was a bad scene.
And I think most people too, when you mention Tyrone Nix, one of the things that people would probably say is, "Oh, he's getting pretty old."
It's 52.
But he's not. I mean,
no, he's
in
52.
Football perspective, 52 is not very old at all.
And, of course, his brother's had a really good career coaching as well. Amazing career. And Demon, let me ask you if you've ever heard of this. Derek Nix coached 13 years at Ole Miss. Three different head coaches came in, and all three of them retained him. Pretty unusual.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
He's always been a terrific recruiter. And look, as long as you can recruit, you're gonna have a job.
And if you've ever been around Derek Nix, he's very impressive. He's a very impressive young man, no question.
Makes their father proud.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
NFL draft tomorrow, Kelly, right?
Yes.
So who in the world are the Bengals going to get?
Well, we don't have a first-round pick now.
That's
Yeah, we traded our guy to the Giants for Sexy Dexy, Dexter Lawrence, the defensive tackle. So, talking to the guys in the front office in Cincinnati, they said,
let's name drop.
What are you all laughing at here?
Okay.
When they looked at who would probably be available with the 10th pick, seriously, they're going, nobody's going to be better than Dexter Lawrence, a two-time all-pro, probably in the prime of his game right now. So, why not?
So, who do you think is going to go number one overall?
Oh, I think the Mendoza will go first
with
the Raiders.
So. Yeah.
And Patrick McGee, of course, is on top of everything that the New Orleans Saints are up to, and we'll hear from him, I guess, tomorrow. Round one will be taken tomorrow, all in primetime television. The draft is in Pittsburgh this year, so all the Steeler fans will be rabid and out there watching. Rounds 2, 3, and 4 will be televised on Friday. Excuse me, 2 and 3 on Friday, and then 4, 5, 6, and 7 on Saturday.
Who do the Saints take, fellas?
I don't know. And it looks like, to me, they're going to try to go for an offensive lineman or defensive tackle like they always do, which is just okay.
Very exciting.
It's thrilling. But, you know, it's always surprising to me when I turn on the television for the NFL draft just how many people are there.
Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it?
I mean, it's like almost 100,000 people there.
Yeah.
And you can say what you want, and we've complained.
Where's it going to be?
In Pittsburgh. And we've argued about how the National Football League shouldn't be playing these games in Madrid, Spain, and Mexico City and all that. But I'll tell you what. The National Football League, their marketing, man, they've got it down.
I
still don't like the fact that they're playing the games internationally, but I'm going to the one that Todd Monken and the Browns are playing in against the Saints in Paris in October.
Wow. So, he didn't invite us.
Wow.
Oh, my daughter lives over there. You guys know that.
He's something, isn't he? He's like
international. Let me guess. Right. You didn't have to pay for a ticket.
Yeah, right. She paid for the ticket, your daughter.
How's the Southern Miss women's golf team doing in the a conference tournament.
You know, the last time you went to visit that child out in Paris, you came back and really complained about she wanted to walk around and show you things. And she maybe arranged for a golf cart or one of the little handicap things we see at Walmart for you to go.
Well, since you're on the subject, she's got a new apartment, and the apartment complex doesn't have an elevator.
Oh, no.
And she lives on the fifth floor.
Oh, my God.
So she said,
you're going to sleep on the street?
She said, I'm looking so forward to you being here, Daddy. And I said, well, the times that I will be there, we will be at a restaurant because I will be at a hotel with an elevator.
Are you kidding me?
No. I'm not going to walk five flights of stairs three or four times a day.
I do not believe that.
Even to see your daughter.
Well, she can come and see me.
That's crazy. I don't believe that for one bit. There's
That's you call parental love.
That is unbelievable.
But I think with the...
Bob, you would fly into Paris to see your daughter and tell her to meet you at the hotel that you're staying in.
No, I would climb the steps.
I would help her carry her stuff up the stairs.
Five floors, three or four times a day. Right. No thanks.
All right, Dima, a minute and a half left in this segment. Patrick McGee, Stats McGee, is coming on in a minute.
Yep.
Are you giving any thought to Friday in your predictions? Because believe it or not, Dima, I got to ask about your predictions again last night at Pete Taylor Park.
I'll tell you what.
Do you know what I would guess he's going to do, Bob?
Maybe I should just pick him to get swept because then they'll sweep again.
Oh, my gosh. Do you want to die? I mean, you've got a child coming, Dima. You don't need to die prematurely.
I haven't really cracked the numbers on South Alabama yet, so I haven't been able to make a fair opinion yet. But what I do know about South Alabama is they're pretty daggum good, though. I mean, they're much better than recent years. Yeah. Did you know that they lost the series to Coastal Carolina in Conway, but they got them to a rubber. They're one of the few conference teams to have beaten Coastal at all. Yeah. They got Coastal to a rubber. They were leading the rubber match in the ninth inning. They were up one run in the ninth inning, and Coastal walked it off in the bottom half.
I know what's coming out of Dima this Friday.
I'm just saying, don't take him lightly.
I would hate if Dima were to be a victim of an accident this weekend.
I feel like that would have already happened last weekend.
Especially with that baby coming.
Real quick, Dima, Eagles win last night. We're all happy that they won, but man, once again, just left way too many people on base and hit into way too many double plays.
Four double plays.
That's hard to believe.
It's probably hard to believe for them. It's just frustrating at this point for them. I mean, well, I think what's encouraging for me is at least they're getting these guys on base, because I think during that lull, they weren't getting anyone on base.
Right.
You know, they were really struggling to walks or singles. Now they're at least getting people on base, so then, you know, your hits will be more loud like they were over the weekend. So that's at least encouraging.
And they seem to be able, although not great hitting, they have been coming up with the clutch hits that win the game.
You just kind of sense a little change in their swagger, sure. You know, and you just want to hope that continues.
And not a moment too soon.
Oh, no question. So will they host a regional? Let's ask the man who picked, 63 out of 64 teams last year?
Correct.
Golly.
He needs to tighten up.
Well, we need to take him to Vegas is what we need.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
24 red, baby.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. D-Bat sponsoring this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour on Hardy Street. Great training facility for adults, any sport, kids, baseball, and softball. Great pro shop, wonderful facilities inside, and expert trainers to help make you the best you can be in your game. Hey, don't forget now, when Southern Miss plays Monroe here in a couple of weeks, MCS Home Center is going to be out there, and Scott Berry is going to be handing out 2,000 specially designed MCS Home Center t-shirts. On the back, and it says MCS Home Center bleeds black and gold. So that'll be before the Monroe game.
Yeah, and if you if any point today you see Kelly Sander, tell him that he left before the show was over, because he just got up and walked out of the studio. We don't even know where he went.
Sometimes that's a good thing.
That's probably it.
Sometimes that's a really good
thing. He just said, all right, guys, see you tomorrow. And we just looked to our right and he walks out.
He is an enigma in the largest, and I mean that literally, the largest sense. Mm-hmm. Real quick, Forest Health reminds you, speaking of Kelly, that good health is important. That means getting an annual physical, exercising, and eating right. No, wait a minute.
Well, that's not Kelly.
That didn't have anything to do with Kelly. But make sure that's part of your life and make sure your health is as good as it can be. And Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. Fortunate to have them here, ForestHealth.org. Patrick McGee, who we fondly refer to as the other Patrick McGee, or Stats McGee, as most people know him, has got this uncanny ability to predict things. Maybe we should, wait a second, should we do this?
Uh-oh.
There he is.
I don't know about that.
No, that's a step up. Patrick McGee's not a fortune teller, but he's pretty close. And so, Patrick, we talked to you last week. Golden Eagles have won four games since. How much have they enhanced the hosting possibility?
I think it's definitely improved over the last four games. Certainly, I mean the RPI has gone up several spots, but I mean more importantly, the league record is improved with that sweep against Texas State. You've gone from 8-7 in the Sun Belt, obviously to 11-7. So I mean, that's still not necessarily 100% ideal for a host spot, but it is better than what it was a week ago for sure.
Does it concern you that I don't want to throw shade on Tulane. They're above 500. Tulane's got a proud baseball program, but it seems like the Golden Eagles just play to the level of competition. And I think last night was kind of an example of that. Does that concern you? Because I think you're going to agree there's not a lot of stumbling room left the rest of the stretch if you want to host your fourth regional here in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, you just haven't been, I guess, really offensive enough this year. And, you know, when you get in a lot of these low-scoring games, you know, you get in a lot of these, 4-3, 5-4, 3-2 type games. I mean, a lot of those, you know, can often become coin flip games. So, you know, when you're not scoring a ton of runs, sometimes you win them last night. A lot of times, you fall on the other side to lose it. And, you know, that can really hurt your RPI, especially with these teams you're playing down the stretch. So it is a little concerning for sure, but I'm sure everybody is, everybody's glad that they pulled it out last night.
Sure.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on Coastal because, I'm sure you saw D1's, predictions that came out yesterday. They had Coastal as a top 8 seed, and you know, just looking at the RPI, they're 14 RPI, and I think they lost last night and you know dropped a conference game over the weekend, and they got Texas State this weekend. I just don't know how they can make a case for that being a top 8 national seed with just their RPI and 28 and 12. I mean, it just kind of is a little far-fetched to me, Patrick.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't put out a field this week. I'm going to come back and do that for the rest of the weeks. But, you know, just kind of looking at D1, yeah, they had them as the 7. And, you know, it's interesting because last year Coastal, I mean, they went 26-4 in the league. And they were, I believe, the number 13 overall host. So they weren't even really that close to getting a top 8. And,
right.
It just seems like their RPI is going to fall a little bit short of where it needs to be. I mean, right now they're 14 in RPI. Like you said, and the remaining schedule isn't, I mean, super, are going to allow them to jump up a ton. I mean, they play those games against Texas State, but those are home games, so it's not going to jump them up a ton. They do play a game at North Carolina in a midweek, and then luckily for them, their Georgia Southern series will be on the road, so that'll, help. That won't hurt them too badly, versus, USM has to play Georgia Southern at home, which could hurt RPI.
Yes.
But I think they're still in good shape for Coastal, in really good shape for a host just because, they do lead the league by four games and they do have a, top 16 RPI. You know, if you finish with a top 16 RPI and win your league, that's almost always a slam dunk host. But I think top 8, unless that RPI were to somehow come up for them, I think it seems maybe a little bit of a long shot right now.
Yes, and can you explain to our listeners who maybe not know, because they're doing something different this year, probably this is the first time they've ever done this, where they're going to rank all the teams from 1 to 32, the 1s and 2s seeds. If Southern Miss, let's just say, I know D1 had them as a 16, and you said you'll come out with your field next week, but if Southern Miss is that 15-16 seed, they're going to get, regional aspects, the 17, 18, 19th overall seed. Could you maybe just kind of explain that a little bit and why, if people looked at it, they saw Mississippi State in Southern Miss's regional?
Yeah, so they're trying to kind of marry that competitive balance along with the geography, which is, geography's kind of always been the the foundation, I guess, of slotting the teams where they are. They're trying to introduce some kind of competitive balance. So, yeah, they're doing it by quadrants or pods this year, sort of. So, host 13 through 16 will get a team between 17 and 20. Host 9 through 12 will get a team seeded 21 through 24. Host 5 through 8 will get a team 25 through 28. And then host 1 through 4 will get a team from 29 to 32. So, and they can manipulate that a little bit. I mean, if there's a team at, you know, that they, you know, they seed at number 21, but there's a team that they think they, you know, geographically would be sensible to send them to in 13 to 16, they can kind of manipulate that and move that team up a spot or two to make that happen. And then also, you know, trying to avoid, I mean, obviously you can't have multiple teams from the same league in a regional. That is, so the seed line can be manipulated a little bit, but they're trying to, you know, create some kind of competitive balance in those one and two seed pairings that there has not been in the past, at least to the degree that it will be now.
And I know this is going to be a, you know, tedious question, but how much does it matter that Jerry McClain is on that committee if Southern Miss is on the bubble? I mean, it mattered to them last year. They were, I think, the only host outside of the top 20 RPI.
No, I think that they had a top 20 RPI last year. I think it was 17 or 18. Okay. I think it was a little bit outside the top 16. I don't remember exactly. I think it was 17 or 18. So it wasn't that far-fetched. You know, them and UCLA and Georgia Tech and TCU, those were kind of the two teams fighting for four spots. And, you know, USM and UCLA got the nod. And, yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt. I mean, we've seen that be a factor in the past. I think last year a little bit less so. You know, there were a couple opportunities where they could have put teams in, where the committee members could have helped their school. I mean, I remember I had picked Florida State last year in the top eight. They were kind of on that bump for the top eight because their AD's on the committee. And this year he's actually the committee chair. I thought that was going to kind of push Florida State up into that top eight, and they ended up not getting a top eight. So I think 2024, I think that was potentially, they may have gone a little bit too far. And that really kind of, I think, trying to retain some of that credibility potentially, and that started last year. But it doesn't hurt by any stretch.
So for people that may not know, the projected field came out yesterday by D1, and a little surprising to me, fellas, Hattiesburg Regional with Mississippi State, the 2 seed, Purdue, and Wright State. What has transpired with Mississippi State, Patrick, that they would drop out of the hosting projections and be a number 2 seed here? If that may not happen, but I'm just saying that's a projection.
Sure. I mean, I think they're right on the bubble of a host. I think their RPI is not bad, but it's 18, which is, you know, a little bit outside the top 16. Their league record is pretty good, but it's not quite great. It's 10-8. So, I mean, right now, if the season ended today, they would be right there on the bubble. They could be in and out. I've seen, you know, some projections have them in as a host, some don't. I mean, but you look at their schedule the rest of the way, I mean, that's going to help their RPI. I mean, they finish. So they play LSU this weekend, which won't necessarily be a huge RPI series, which is kind of weird to say, but they finish, you know, they play in the Governor's Cup
really
against Ole Miss.
And
then they go to Texas, weekend series against Auburn, then go to A&M. So if they were to, you know, get to 17 league wins for sure, I think they would – you know, be one of those hosts. But right now, their RPI is just a little bit low if the season ended today.
And, brother, that schedule you just said, that's a pretty rough way to end the year. I didn't hear an easy out in that schedule right there.
Yes, that is it's pretty tough down the stretch. So, yeah, they may not win all those games, but even if they just go 500, their RPI will go up.
All right, Patrick, we appreciate you. Can we bring you back next week and see where we stand?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, we sure appreciate you, man. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Patrick McGee, as he's otherwise known, Dima, as Stats McGee.
He knows what he's talking about.
I don't like that regional.
Yeah, well.
No, I don't like that, but we'll see how it plays out.
I don't like the super regional pairing. If you get out of that, here you go, UCLA on the road. I mean, that would be.
Seems pretty... like we've been there before, doesn't it? Playing the number one team in the country. Yeah. Am I not right about that?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back, everybody. If you got gold and silver lying around your house, you probably know that gold and silver is very valuable these days, and if you want to sell that type of stuff and convert it into greenbacks, well, there's only one place to go. That's Jewel Masters on Highway 98 West. Jewel Masters, Marty Vick, has been doing buying and selling gold and silver longer than anyone in the Pine Belt. No one will give you a better price. No one will treat you better than the Vicks. It'll be confidential, it'll be fast, and you'll walk out of Jewel Masters with cash in your hand. So don't forget, if you're going to do that, Jewel Masters is the place you need to go. And also, if you want something really good to eat, and Demon and I are very fond of this place. You've heard of Fuzzy's Tacos, Demon.
Oh, yeah.
Great food, always fresh, wonderful atmosphere down in Midtown, especially when the garage door is open. It is a Southern Miss headquarters, and it is a wonderful place to enjoy a good meal with your family. So this will be a good weekend to go down to Fuzzy's and enjoy what we know will be some really good Tex-Mex food that you will greatly enjoy. All right, Damon, what's in news and notes?
Yeah, so Southern Miss Women's Golf is competing in the Conference USA Championship this week. Currently, after yesterday's results, they are 7th place from 12th, in 7th place out of 12 teams. The team shot a 292, which is their lowest round the whole season. Luis Coivers, minus 3 on the 9, so she shot a 69. Taylor Tribble shot even par, 72. Savannah Van Kalen, plus 2. With a 74, ULM is currently sitting in first place in women's golf.
Well, I'm not a golfer, but tell me something. You just said shot 69 and 72. That's really good, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for them who are, you know, obviously competing against other players who are shooting that good as well. But, yeah, I mean, 69, 72, that's right on par.
So. Okay, put that in perspective of the average guy that works all week but loves to play golf.
Like me?
Yeah, like you.
Yeah, I shoot anywhere from 86 to about 92. I mean, anywhere in there. So that's about, what is that? That's 17 shots lower than that. So, yeah.
That would be a mismatch, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have a prayer. I mean, that's basically parring every hole and, you know, obviously getting a birdie here and there. And then, you know, what I try to do is just basically bogey each hole. That's what I'm trying to do. If I get a par or birdie, I'm happy, you know, with a hole. That's a really
good
hole.
So these kids playing collegiate golf, they're pretty elite.
Yeah. It's, I mean, and you see it on the pro level too, but also the men's golf. I mean, when you watch collegiate men's golf, I mean, the way they're able just to place the ball exactly where they want it, and they just make it look so easy.
It's not, is
it? It's not. And of course, they're obviously like committed to it, so they play every day and practice every day, right? But, you know, I mean, I consider myself played a good bit. You know, I try to go once a week, you know, and you know, you'll hit 6 or 7 really, really good shots, and then you'll have that one shot that just to the right or to the left, and you're like, man, you know, and then you watch on TV, you know, the Scottie Schefflers of the world or whoever, you know, 5 iron, 4 feet from the pin, you know, 6 iron, and they're 195 yards out, and they're putting it in, you know, 4 feet from a little tiny cup. I mean, it's just crazy.
Do you think when the baby arrives, the fact that you're going to get about 90 minutes of sleep a night will affect your golf game?
Well, if there is a golf game, that might be a pretty hard sell, Bob. Oh, Kari, why don't you handle the baby? I'm going to go play around at golf.
No, no, no. Let me just give you some advice.
I don't think that's happening.
Don't do that.
I'm not going to
Don't broach that subject with her, okay?
That's why I'm trying to get it all in now, because I might not be playing for another 5 years.
I'll give you some good advice, and that would be one. Don't try that, Damon.
Oh, it looks like you got that handled. I'll see you later.
Yeah. It looks like you got that handled. I'll see you later. I'm going to hang out with the guys and shoot a few rounds. Leave you here with a crying baby. Ooh, no, Demo. Please don't. Red flag, Demo.
You see this haircut? I'd be going to the Army, that's for sure. Sent off to military school.
Hey, we hadn't talked about him this week. I think Kelly's going to get some softball interviews.
Yes. They lost to Ole Miss last night. You know, came up short there, but they have another weekend series. Of course, they lost to Texas State this weekend, but they're still sitting, you know, third place right now in the Sun Belt. So they're still in probably their best spot they've ever been.
They're still having a really good year.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, and Ole Miss, I'm going to assume, is.
Yeah, they're good.
Probably, you know.
Good softball team.
A well-paid softball team.
Yeah, sure they are.
Probably a well-paid softball team. Okay, Dima, I'm going to ask you what I asked Patrick McGee. We've got a minute left. Are you concerned about all the close games?
I mean, I, again, it's kind of just, I've just kind of accepted who this team is at this point. Like, they're just not going to be an offense who's just going to go out there every night and blow whoever they play out.
Yeah.
I mean, we just haven't seen it. Even against, like you were talking about off air, like North Alabama. I mean, they didn't even do it against them. Mm-hmm. And so, and that was back when they were winning all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I just think I've just kind of accepted that the offense being like that. And so it really just comes down to what kind of pitching you have that weekend. If you have really good pitching like you did against Texas State, you're going to be incredibly hard to beat. Because the offense will get it. It's not like they're going to get shut out. You know, they're going to score 5-6 runs a game.
Yeah.
It's just not the 8-9 that we've been accustomed to seeing.
Some of that pitching depth surfaced again last night when you bring a kid. He didn't pitch much all weekend, Cross Sibley, and comes in and was just lights out.
Yeah, that was really impressive. You know, 5 1/3, I think, and no hits. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
All right, we still have some good baseball interviews to bring you the remainder of the week. Said Kelly's going to spend some time with the softball kids tomorrow, and want to publicize all of these sports. And real quickly, thanks to the kind words, I got quite a number leaving the baseball stadium last night, and we always appreciate the fact that people speak up to us.
Yeah, I get a lot of people speaking up to me too, Bob.
Especially in the last week, Demas.
Yeah.
Remember, Demas predictions coming on the Friday show.
That's when we need to run the Kelnac.
Yeah, right. Until then, maybe Southern Miss to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.